joined right now by a senior columnist for NFL.com. He is an NFL Network on-air talent. He is a good friend of the program. My man Jeffrey Chidiha joins us. Jeffrey, what's up? How you doing, bud?
Good. How you doing, Jim?
It's been a while, Jeff. I'm doing great. How are things? How you living?
I can't complain. I'm in Kansas City waiting for an eclipse to start, so about an hour it'll be dark.
Good man. All right. Hope that goes well for you. Listen, I'm going to talk to you about Kansas City in a minute, but I know you've had a tour of a number of the camps, and one of the really in vogue teams right now, Jeff, are the Tennessee Titans. I had Delanie Walker on the show last week, and he was talking about the vibe and the energy of the camp this season. I know you spent some time around them recently, so what's your sense as to how that team is handling the success of last season?
I like them a lot. You know, I watched them last year a couple of times and really saw them come on in the second half, and I really think that, you know, small market team, not a ton of star players, you know, not a big-time explosive offense. I think people are kind of sleeping on them because they finished 9-7. You know, Marcus Mariota's really come on, but they have the things you really want to see in a team that is young and on the rise. You know, strong run game, probably the best offensive line in football right now with two all-pro offensive tackles, and a defense that, with Dick LeBeau there, is always going to be getting better. So, you know, they had five Pro Bowl players last year, and I think what you see there is a lot of chemistry. You know, so I think that it would not be surprising to see them make that jump from 9-7 to 11-5, 12-4, and win that division.
You know, in terms of the identity or chemistry, they've got an identity now. Now, the identity is a blue-collar team, and they've got that physical offensive line that you mentioned, a really good running game. But along with that comes the notion that they don't have a lot of stars. Yet when you look at Walker, you see DeMarco Murray, Marcus Mariota, and then first-round picks like Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson, do you see that changing a little bit?
I do. And you know, I think we've gotten used to stars along the lines of, like, the Odell Beckhams, who are always in the news and making big headlines and attract a ton of attention. But you know, Marcus Mariota is going to be a star. You know, he's a Pro Bowl alternate last year. DeMarco Murray led the league in rushing 3 years ago, had a tough year in Philadelphia last year, rebounded with 1,200 yards this year or this past year. I mean, these guys know how to play. They know how to play together. But I think what's nice about them is that their stars have a lot of humility. And when you walk into their locker room, you know, you feel as if everybody's equal. There's not like a hierarchy, a pecking order. And it reminds me a lot of Tennessee teams that were under Jeff Fisher back in the day when they had Eddie George and Steve McNair and Javon Kirsten. It was the same kind of vibe. You know, guys who had big reputations didn't have big egos.
Jeffrey Chidiha joining us. He's an NFL.com senior columnist, also an on-air talent for NFL Network. So one more thought, because you mentioned Mariota. He's entering his third season now. If he's able to stay healthy this season after coming back from injury, how bright is his future?
Well, I think the sky's the limit for him. You know, I think from the day he came into the draft, he's always been compared to Jameis Winston because they came out 1-2. But every time I talk to scouts about the comparisons between the two, they say, you know, Jameis has that big personality, and you can see that on Hard Knocks. But they always say Mariota is the smarter player, is the more mature guy, the guy who's going to always do the right things. And when I talk to him, you know, there's very few – I've talked to a lot of players in this league, and there's very few guys I've come across at his age who have such a calm to him and such a sense of purpose. And that really – that's rubbing off on me after like 5 minutes. I can imagine what it's like to be around him for the last 2 years. I mean, he just has such an aura of things are going to end up well if you're around this player. So, again, a lot like Steve McNair had back in the day, like he just feels like he's on a mission and that team is going to rally around him because of that.
Our guest is Jeff Chidiha. Now, you also spent some time, Jeff, at the Packers training camp. And one of the raps on that team in the past is that they have Aaron Rodgers, but the cast around him has not always been where it needs to be. But now they've added Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks. Has that story changed a little bit?
Well, I think it definitely has. And, you know, and I think to be fair, I think people rip on their general manager, Ted Thompson, for what he hasn't done. But you go back 3-4 years, and that team was riding a 19-game winning streak and had probably some of the best talent in football with Jermichael Finley, Greg Jennings, and a whole bunch of guys, Jordy Nelson. But I think they want to play a different style of football this year. You know, they've always been kind of a 3-4 receiver set type team, and you're going to see more two tight end formations. You're going to see more downhill running. And I think you're going to see a lot more movable pieces in that offense with Ty Montgomery out of the backfield, who's been a receiver and can be a threat, you know, as a receiver or a runner. You've got Randall Cobb, who's always been a mismatch nightmare. They move him around a lot more. And then just, again, getting the matchups with Martellus Bennett and Kendricks and Nelson being healthy, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have – he'll probably be the MVP just based on what I see on paper right now.
See, I was going to say, in fact, he makes some really good points. I mean, there were times in previous years when he was operating with three or four receiver sets, but now you've got Bennett, you've got the continued development of Todd Montgomery, as you point out, and it looks like they can be a more physical team. They can run downhill, as you point out. In the end, is it going to take some of the pressure and some of the load off of Aaron Rodgers to do so much himself?
Well, I think it will. And people, you know, said he was having a down year last year and he wound up with 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Defensively, they still have to play at a higher level on that side of the football. But if this team is doing what it should do offensively and they're able to mix in a running game that can be consistent, I mean, I think people often forget, like you just said, what they didn't have the last couple of years, what injuries took away from them. And I think there's even Aaron, spending time with him, talked about just this unit, if it plays up to his potential, the supporting cast, could rival that unit he had back when he had Jennings and Finley and Donald Driver and Nelson, all those guys around him.
Jeffrey Chidiha joining us. All right, so what about Montgomery? He moves to running back as an emergency starter last season, and then the team drafts three running backs, but he's still the main guy in the backfield. So how different do you think he'll be this season now that he's had a full offseason to prepare?
Well, I think he definitely feels comfortable in the role. You know, it's pretty tough to go from being a receiver to jumping into that position in game week 6 or whatever it was last year. He's put on about 10 pounds, spent the offseason around Adrian Peterson and Melvin Gordon training and getting some good advice from them about how to take care of his body. But when I talked to him, what kind of blew me away was that, you know, I said, is it going to be tougher on your body? Is, you know, taking these shots every week and getting 15, 20 carries as opposed to catching 3 or 4 passes. And he said that he looks forward to that. Like, he had games first couple of years where he felt he wasn't doing as much because he wasn't as banged up coming out of out of those games. So it's kind of a twisted way of looking at life. But I think he feels pretty good about the fact that he's going to be more involved in the action on a regular basis.
Sometimes you want that pain. All right, you mentioned Kansas City. The Chiefs training camp was yet another stop on your tour. How did they look to you right now?
Well, they're interesting because I think for years, the last few years under Andy Reid, they've been very successful. 3 playoff appearances in the last 4 years, but a lot of drama this offseason with Tom Bahaly tweeting about guys not showing up for offseason workouts and the firing of John Dorsey, releasing of Jeremy Maclin. But I really think that in the preseason so far, you've seen a lot of focus from Alex Smith, a lot of really good quarterback play, and he may be getting pushed by the fact that they've drafted a first-round quarterback and Patrick Mahomes, who's played pretty well. But I do think that if they're able to get, again, stopping the run on defense, that was the big Achilles heel for them last year. If they're able to turn Tyreek Hill, who was the most exciting player in football last year, into a full-time receiver instead of a receiver, runner, return man threat, they should be back in the playoffs.
Right, one more team before you go. The Dolphins are coming off a season where they won 8 games by 7 points or less. So when you look at last year's team, Jeff, how much of that is just, frankly, luck? And then how much of that is a sign of mental toughness?
Well, I think a lot of it was mental toughness because they had not had a winning culture down there in a long time. And Adam Gase came in there in year one and got guys to buy into it. Now, it's a little different story when you're talking about Ryan Tannehill being out for the season and bringing in Jay Cutler after a week and hoping he can actually be your quarterback for the year. I think whatever they did last year, as impressive as it was, if they're able to win 10 games with that kind of scenario going on, I mean, Adam Gase should be the coach of the year. A lot to like about them with Jay Ajayi and running the football and that defense, especially the front 7. But, you know, the quarterback, as we know, is a big part of whatever happens to a team. And if Jay Cutler can't get it done, then they're probably not going to be as good as they were last year.
All right, so how do you think that's going to work out with Cutler? And so far, from what you can sense, how are guys responding to him there?
Well, I think it's really early. I think the first results as far as the first preseason game after a week being in, I think that's pretty impressive for him to come in and look the way he did after a week of practice. I think he showed some savvy and made a couple throws down the field. He's got some chemistry with Devontae Parker. But, again, I think it's going to be a work in progress there. The upside is he knows the offense. He knows Gase. Gase trusts him. The downside is he's Jay Cutler. So we'll see what happens.
Jeff, one last thought. Do you think that we're going to see Colin Kaepernick this year playing the NFL?
You know, I don't. And I started coming around to that back in May after Blaine Gabbert signed with Arizona. And I think Brian Fitzpatrick was picked up. And you saw these quarterbacks that were getting jobs who he had played better than, who he had a better resume than. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that go into this. I don't think it's collusion by the owners. I think there's a certain tier of owners that are not going to take him, but there's also owners who would probably take him because they feel confident in their head coaches. I think if Alex Smith wasn't the quarterback here, Colin Kaepernick might be a backup option because he took Michael Vick. But the biggest thing nobody talks about is that for Kaepernick to get a job, he has to have people believe in him and trust him and support him. And right now, the last three coaches who coached him are not in the NFL, Jim Harbaugh, Chip Kelly, and the other guy who was out in San Francisco between those two, whose name I forget now.
Tom Sula.
And the Tom Sula. And the GM who drafted him is Trent Baalke, is out of a job. So really all he has is Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator in Baltimore, and that's not enough clout to get it, to get you onto a roster somewhere. So that's how I see it.
You think that lack of trust is based in how he plays at this point or how he's conducting himself off the field?
I think it's all about his conduct. You know, people can say what they want to about his numbers. They can say what they want to about how he fits into an offense. That there's plenty of coaches out there who feel like they can make any quarterback work if they think he has talent and ability. And he's done enough in this league and played in enough big games to warrant that. Talking to Michael Vick about him back in the summer, he made a good point that he's probably going to have to go someplace, as Vic did, where he's the third quarterback, where he's not getting paid a lot of money, and things can die down, and he can, you know, find his way back up an NFL depth chart. That's the only way it's going to happen. And I'll be honest, I'd rather see the guy talking, because I think one thing that he's never really done a good job of is articulating his message, what he wants, what he believes, and if he could get in front of a camera and say some things, that might help sway some people about his future in the NFL.
And Jeff, one last thing as a follow-up. Why do you think that he has not done that?
Well, I think he is a man of his actions. I think he believes that what he's doing, going all the way back to kneeling and sitting down, is more demonstrative than words. I think that he is probably so caught up in believing what he's doing is important, and I believe what he's doing is important, that he's not trying to curry favor. He's not trying to sell people on who he is. He's probably thinking that, you know, he's got a resume out there that people can look at and they can decide if he fits what they want. But again, it's like, and I did a big documentary on him for NFL Network, and the thing that really jumped out for me about doing that was every player we talked to, from Malcolm Jenkins to Brandon Marshall, the linebacker with the Broncos, to Kenny Stills and some guys with the Dolphins, like, they were way more impressive in saying what they were thinking and what they were trying to accomplish. And I think Cap, to his detriment, you know, he ticked off people about the anthem, he ticked off people who care about the military, ticked off policemen, and he's never been able to recover from that. And I think, you look at what Michael Bennett did when he sat down, the first thing he said was, look, I'm not anti-American, I'm not anti-this, anti-that, I'm about love. And I think that alone, like, buys you a lot of political capital when you do something like this.
Jeffrey Chidiha is an NFL.com senior columnist. He is an NFL Network on-air talent. Good friend of the program. Jeff, it is so great to get caught up. Really nice job, Jeff. Great to have you back. Thank you very much. Let's make sure we do it again really soon.
It sounds good, Jim. Take care.
Good job, bud. Jeffrey Chidiha.